Good morning. It is January 25th, 2021. This is Alex Jabaley with another episode of the Podcast. Winning streak, 2 weeks in a row. Now, excuse me, my voice sounds way off. This is still me. I was actually sick last week. Not what you think, which is always scary because the moment you get any kind of cold feeling, you're like, is it COVID? And my brother came to my family's house for my dad's birthday last week, coughing, saying it was allergies, and it ended up not being. I ended up getting tested negative on Wednesday, like 4 days later, and just had a cold through the week. And that happens to me maybe once or twice a year when the weather outside fluctuates going up and down. And sometimes when I walk Tifa, my dog, I will go outside in like a tank top and shorts at 6 a.m. before I go to the gym. So I had actually recovered. I spent 3 days at home just relaxing, doing meetings for DreamHack and stuff with barely a voice. And then Saturday, I was 100%. Yesterday, I went to Epcot at Disney World because I felt 100%, had all my energy back and all that. And then I had a phone call last night that lasted about an hour, and then my voice was shot again. So anyways, I'm past the cold part, just now getting my voice back, which takes a few days, which kind of reminds me of when I would do tournaments and would have to just lose my voice by Thursday night yelling at everybody before I had to learn to delegate when CEO continued to grow. But last week was actually a pretty good week for me. Nothing too crazy in the world of everything around us. The inauguration happened with, you know, the stress of everybody wondering what the hell is going to happen, which was a beautiful inauguration, I think. That speech that Amanda Gorman girl gave was pretty awesome to see someone so talented, so smart at that age and just kill it. And, you know, she wrote that poetry. I remember me, myself, growing up, I went to Catholic school for 8 years, and I was always chosen to speak on the altar when you did, like, the hymns during church that we had to go to. God, I went to church, like, 3 times a week back then. So that's why it turned out okay, I think. But, you know, so I was very good at public speaking and reading off of stuff, and that kind of helped me to project the voice that I have today and everything. But, you know, nothing there. I think the best thing to come out of that was the Bernie memes, just seeing so many Bernie memes, Bernie Sanders, just sitting there looking bored. Even I used to saying the joke, like, you know, 8 a.m. Sunday finals. I've been guilty of having to host CEO finals on Sunday at like 9 a.m. just to fit all the games in into the main stage ring, which, you know, now looking back when CEO bounces back and comes back, I'm going to do more of a kind of what I did in Daytona the last 2 years. Of having multiple finals going on, because some people don't want to watch their specific game. Some people want to hang out, you know, and watch everything that happens in the main arena just because the atmosphere and the vibe. But, you know, now to fit as much as you can on Sunday and give everyone their opportunity to play in a comfortable setting, not being stressed of when they're going to go up and such. And yeah, so hopefully my voice, you guys can survive this for the next 25 minutes or so. But today's episode, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about minimum wage going up to $15 an hour, little things like that. Now, you know, Democrats back in the office, and I'm very supportive of it. It just makes you wonder, where does that money come from a business? Do they have to start upping their prices across the board, like 10%? It's a lot of math to worry about and such. But yeah, anyways, sicker, you know, higher hell water. I'm going to do this podcast, so hopefully you can bear with me. But last week, you know, gaming wise, I'll talk about gaming, and then I'm going to get into my experience at Disney. Actually, I felt very comfortable going to Disney, and I'm actually going to stay home the whole week, avoid people. I've actually been working out way more at home. I redid my home gym to kind of fit as much as I could in a probably 100 square foot space with my bench and my rower and my bike. And I have a pull up system now, and pretty much everything I need to work out at home. And I put a little nice Alexa Fire TV in the corner. So I've been watching shows as I work out, which is pretty great. I'm not going to lie, saving about 30 minutes of, you know, showering, getting ready, driving back and forth before I even go to the gym. It feels good because I kind of want to change up my workouts now from just the usual mundane heavy lifting at the gym, walking around, sometimes waiting for people to get the hell out of an area so I don't have to be near them. And Disney was great for that. Actually, it was pretty cool. So, and then I'm going to spend some time talking about retail jobs and all the jobs that I did before I became a full-time event planner, tournament organizer, and a man of many hats, as you could say, before I took this year-long sabbatical thanks to COVID. And, you know, last week I ended up getting an Oculus Quest 2, the VR unit from Facebook and Oculus, which you need a Facebook account to use. I've already been on Facebook pretty much since it started, so I could care less. My information's all out there. I know what to block, all that stuff. So I'm not worried. Some people are like, that's a deal breaker for me. I don't want my information on the internet. I'm like, man, if somebody wanted to get you, they're going to find a way. So just get an account. But you know, for $300, the base system, which is 64 gigs, which I have like 20 games installed now, and I still haven't even hit like 50 gigs of memory, but I got the $400 version, which has 256 gigs because it's an all-in-one unit. So if I start traveling again and maybe might want to take it with me, I'm going to have it all stocked up with games and everything to get me through a trip. Although, you know, the carry case and that thing is pretty big. It's not like carrying a Nintendo Switch everywhere. But I am impressed. I've always been a, not a hater of VR, but I've always thought it was a novelty. I do have the PlayStation VR, but I never bought any other PC like an HTC Vive or anything like that. And I have a pretty beefy gaming PC, a 2070 super liquid cool thing I got on Black Friday, like almost 2 years ago now, or year and like 3 months, 2019 Black Friday. I bought with my buddy Tong in Tampa. We bought the same ones for like $1,200. That model is like $2,000 now if you can find it. And I've used that to record this podcast and stream and all that. And it's been an amazing computer to use. But I never wanted to get a VR unit where I was tethered by a wire to be connected. And so Oculus VR basically is the best mainstream unit. Even my PlayStation VR, you needed a PlayStation 4. You needed to keep it connected. The cable wasn't very long. You needed the webcam. You needed the two Move controllers from PlayStation 3, which are like $100 for a pair now if you don't have them. So that's like a $900 system alone right there. And the Oculus Quest is just all in one. And I've actually got like three friends to buy it now because I streamed a bit. And it's actually helping my doing arm workouts again. I've been doing, so the Oculus Quest 2 has some games from like Steam VR and such. But I've been playing Beat Saber, which is probably the most famous VR game, which is like DDR with lightsabers. And then Echo VR, which is an arena-based shooter. It's like, it's more like a Blitzball from Final Fantasy X, if you get that reference. And you're like free floating in the air and you use your, you know, your controllers to project yourself and push, and then you can grab stuff with your hand and push off the wall or push off your buddies. And it's a really cool, like arena based arcade game that is hilarious, because the moment you get into a lobby, it's a bunch of kids just like, I'm not doing my homework, Dad. I'm going to keep playing and all that stuff, which is pretty darn funny. If you can hear my echo in the background talking, I got to start muting that thing when I do this podcast. So I've been playing a lot of that. Virtua Desktop is a $20 app that lets you log in, connect to your computer. You need the wire, any USB-C wire, at least once to connect it. And then once you do that, you can wirelessly stream if you have a good 5G Wi-Fi network, which fortunately I do. I have fiber here to play your Steam VR game. So it basically turns your Oculus Quest 2 into an all-in-one VR unit that can play PC VR games. So that added like Half-Life Alyx, which is like the killer app, some Star Wars games, some other stuff. So Oculus Quest, like if you're looking for a system, I'm playing that more now than my PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X. Like super impressed, all in one. My older brother has been obsessed with VR. He keeps telling me, get into the VR, it's the future. I'm like, dude, it'll be the future when you don't need to connect to anything. And then Oculus Quest 2 came out a few months ago. And I just think it's a fun system. I still think we're not there yet 100%. They actually bumped up the technology to like 90 hertz, so you don't see like a screen door effect. Everything looks smoother, but I still see the binocular effect, and maybe that's because of my big ass head, but I see that binocular effect. So you can kind of see like the black rings around the eyes where you're looking at the screen and stuff. So once that's completely gone, and supposedly there's a rumor of Apple coming out with some overpriced VR unit that'll completely eliminate that and look even better. You know, I think we're not 100% there, but I think Facebook and Oculus is doing the best to make VR almost 100% legit and a mainstream device, because it's got a lot of cool stuff. My favorite thing technically is if you get this $20 virtual desktop program, you can basically turn your headset into a 5-monitor VR display where I could actually see everything clearly. I was like taking screenshots and showing my buddies. I'm like, guys, if you have only one screen, you know, and your keyboard and all that, that's great. I have an ultra wide and then another big screen I put like YouTube videos on. And with the virtual desktop, you can create or simulate 5 different windows as if you're in a VR world where you have 5 monitors in front of you and it's all crystal clear. The only thing is you can use a virtual keyboard, takes forever to type. But if you know how to type, you know, if you've been typing for years, you don't even have to look at your keyboard anymore, which I don't once I know where my hand's placed. And I thought that was pretty damn cool. So we're almost there to where you can probably just have your meetings in a VR world and feel like you're there with people. So I thought that was pretty cool. Kudos to them for the Oculus Quest 2. Highly recommend. I'm going to make a YouTube video once my voice is back talking about my favorite games and stuff. But just super impressed, super fun. It's probably the best bang for your buck. The only complaint I really have is the games. There's no deals. They'll have like a daily deal where a game's like $5 off. But it's not like the PlayStation Store where half the games are like 50% off some of the time and such. And so you're going to be spending a pretty penny, but every game has been worth it so far. Cool news is I don't take advantage of the stuff. If you've played a game for less than 2 hours, you get a refund. You can get a refund without question. So that's almost like cheating the system. But yeah, Oculus has been awesome. Back to CEO stuff, still kind of, you know, on hold right now, waiting for people to get the vaccine out. But 2021 is not looking good. I'm mentally already kind of checked out, but I'm ready to go if things were to turn around instantly, but it doesn't look like that. But the good news for my mental state, I've been getting calls from previous partners and companies. I don't want to say names. It might give stuff away, but just talking about, hey, if you don't do something offline, we would like to support something online. Because I think a lot of people want to do something online, at least to keep things going. So I felt special. I felt like, hey, they remember the little guy. And then one of them's like, you're not the little guy, Jabali. Shut up. I'm like, yes, I am. I'm just a humble organizer that wants to, you know, do good and bring things back. But I thought that was cool. I had like 3 calls last week. DreamHack doing some planning. I've been a part of the creative team now and just adding ideas to what we would do like a virtual event and just thinking outside the box that I haven't been able to think about in like a year outside of my own events. You know, CEO has always been I'll never forget like the early years of planning before we started doing the wrestling stuff. And then growing into what it is today and working with Kenny Omega and such, I would go to the gym, I would have a killer workout. And then on the 10-minute drive back home, ideas would just flurry through my head. And I would be like, as soon as I get home, I'd Facebook message, Rick from Connor, like, hey, I have this idea. He's like, that's not bad. Or he'll be like, nope, you know, but just all these ideas would come after workouts. So stimulating your brain and your body just goes a long way. And now that I get to think outside the box and think about like, you know what, if I was in charge of a multi-million dollar event with not just fighting games, all kinds of esports and digital stuff, what would I do to make it better? And that was really cool to start thinking about stuff like that. So that's keeping me going, being a part of the creative stuff. And so really excited for that. So whether we have live events this year or not, we're going to be doing some virtual stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, leading up to all that, actually, let me skip to Disney real quick. So I went to Disney yesterday. I worked with Disney World for 13 years. I'll talk about that when I talk about my past jobs through a family business. And I bought an annual pass last January. I'm like, you know what? In 2020, I'm going to spend more time doing things I want to do on my own time, going out more. This is before I got a dog or even considered getting a dog. You know, I want to go to Disney World. I know so many people with passes. Let me get it. And so I got one. And I was friends with an employee who got me like 10% off the badge. I ended up getting the gold pass, which was like $670 after discount. That was basically, it only had blackout dates of like New Year's Eve week and Christmas, which are the worst times to go, you know, without COVID being a thing. Just the traffic's the worst statistically that week of around Disney area is the worst traffic Florida sees all year. It's insane. I remember 1 year it took like 2 hours to get out of Disney World after New Year's Eve and stuff. And my family used to go every year. We would have to go at like 11 a.m. and stay the whole day. Otherwise, you weren't getting in because they'd fill the capacity. And I bought the pass. I didn't activate it yet. And then I had 2 relatives from Australia come that my mom's like, hey, they want to go to Disney. Do you want to go with them? I'm like, I got an annual pass. Let me take them. And they were awesome. But holy shit. Their names are slipping me right now. I think Emma was one. And we went, it was 2 friends from Australia. They came together and they only had 2 days to go to Disney after they had gone to Universal. I'm like, yeah, I'll go. So we did 4 parks in 2 days, but this girl walked so fast. She was very athletic and like, even I couldn't keep up. And I'm a tall guy that takes less steps than most people. And even I'm like, holy crap, but it felt so cool because they knew what they wanted to do. She like read all the research of like all the secret stuff that I already knew, but I was like, this is awesome that she knows that. So I kind of let her take the lead and we did 4 parks and Disney Springs in like 2 days and it was awesome. Like we killed it. And then I think for like a day I had to rest and you know, catch my energy. Because it's funny, when you were kids going to theme parks, it was easy. You know, being able to ride all the rides, walk all day, then you still had energy to go. But as adults, it's like you go for 4 hours, like, man, I need a nap. But, you know, that was last year. So I used it twice. I used it one more time when some out-of-town friends came in. And then COVID happened. I'm like, you got to be kidding. And then Disney shut down the week that I did CEO Dreamland. I'm like, come on. In a perfect world, all Disney had to do is, guys, we're shut down a few months. Rather than your annual pass continuing, how about we just, whatever remaining days you had left, they don't activate until the first time you decide to use that pass again. Nope. Disney's like, we already got your money and I paid for the thing fully in advance. I don't like paying monthly plans or anything if I can afford not to. I regret that now. I'll definitely do that in the future. And so for what, 5 months, I think Disney was closed and the pass just was nothing. But what they did was they, if anybody was doing a monthly plan, they like gave, let you get a pseudo refund or some of it off if you didn't want the pass anymore or to cancel it. Or what they did with mine, they added 6 months. So it was going to expire like January 25th this year. Instead, it expires like June 12th or 14th or something like that, which sucks because now I kind of am forced to go. So JT, shout outs to JT if you listen to this podcast. He is actually the guy who streamed the very first CEO, lives in Tampa. He works in healthcare. So he's actually vaccinated already. He got his second dose for the shot, for COVID, sorry, the vaccination. And so, you know, he said it was painless. You know, when it's available, I highly recommend you get it. So I went with his fiance. It was their 6 year anniversary. And she's helped, Rachel, shout outs to Rachel. She used to be my Starbucks girl and get all Starbucks for CEO and stuff and staff and help out and registration. And, what JT, he went from streaming the first year before I hired Spooky, like the second year, to doing all the entrance music. So when all the players get their top eight entrances, JT would help me gather all the players' music. Then he would download it, get it ready to go from whether it was YouTube playing or whatever. And we would play the music. So JT's been a huge part of CEO for, we've been friends since like 2009. So he invited me to go. He's like, we're going for anniversary. I know you have a pass. You want to go? I'm like, yeah, let's go. So I was the third wheel, but didn't feel uncomfortable at all. So we made a reservation. We went to Epcot because they have the Festival of the Arts where every area has like food, special food items. And they give you like a checklist to see if anybody will spend $300 to buy every single item. But had some really good stuff, actually. Japan, of course, had this like little wooden sake crate that they would pour the sake in. You got to keep the box and they wrote your name in Japanese. But going to Disney, you know, I don't really go out much, honestly, in COVID. I avoid bars. I don't want to be inside some like indoor setting. Like I see some friends on Instagram already going out like it's nothing because Florida's wide open, which sucks. But, you know, seeing that Disney took all these precautions and the fact that I can just stay home for a week in case of something and you know, somehow catch it. But I honestly felt very comfortable. If you go with people you trust, I didn't have to interact with anybody. There was never a time, maybe once, where somebody was like within 2 feet of me for like half a second, like, oh, I'm out, you know. But getting in, they take your temperatures. It's the scanners. It's not the proper one where it's like an infrared that kind of like tells your body temp and stuff. But, you know, felt very comfortable. Parking was easy. It's not full capacity. So getting there, made the reservation. We got there when it opened at 11 a.m. We did Test Track first, which is actually one of my favorite Disney rides. Just very cool car ride. And, you know, waiting in that line was maybe 15, 20 minutes. And even the queues outside of the rides to get inside are, you know, they have every 6 feet, there's a line like wait here. So as each family like moves up, people wait until they move up and then you're always spread out. And they had hand sanitizers almost everywhere. Some of the rides, like the Mexico boat ride, had plexiglass between them. The trams weren't running. When you park, you just walked up. You weren't really parked very far from the entrance. And so it felt very, very comfortable. You know, and so it was easy to get around. Nothing felt crowded. You know, waiting in line for food, you would think, oh my God, every line's going to be packed. Maybe five people in front of us every time. And then the moment you got your food, all these like stand-up tables, no chairs. They had like no seat sitting anywhere unless it was a bench. Very few and far between. And you could sit down and enjoy. And, you know, enjoy eating without anybody getting near you. You know, take your mask off, eat while you're stationary. And it was really cool because I would see some people, you know, walking around with like their nose not covered as well. The mask just over their mouth. And employees would be like, sorry, you need a mask. You need to cover up, and just they were keeping an eye on everything. And then all the employees, not only did they have masks, they had the face shields on. So they were, you know, very, very conscious and stuff. And man, you know, besides the masks, when Disney comes back, I hope they stay at that capacity, because that was the greatest, like, just being able to go through and enjoy everything without crowds. And it's coming to a point like, man, it's going to be scary if we go through another year of COVID. Like, how are people going to interact with each other and strangers? It's like everyone's just so used to being separated now and not being next to each other. And just what a crazy world we're living in. But my pass expires in June. I'm going to probably go a few more times. I don't want it to go to waste. And now what sucks is if you don't have an annual pass, you can buy tickets to go the very next day at full price, because Disney wants all that fresh money. And if you stay on property at a hotel, you get to skip the lines. There's no more fast pass, so you don't need your magic band, just your annual pass to get in. But there's like a special line for people staying on property for like certain times, like a fast pass time for them. So that's beneficial. But you know, I had friends actually, when they saw us at Epcot, like, we're at Animal Kingdom, we stayed at the resort for the weekend. I'm like, how is, like, we don't think we've interacted with a human once. I'm like, that's nice. So very, just a weird but serene feeling. Like, it was like you owned the park. But a lot of stuff, like the pre-shows before Test Track, not there. The interactive hand stuff, like the, you know, the screens that you get to play on, not there. After the ride, you literally just get kicked out of the end, the gift shop area. The gift shop's open, but like all the little post-event stuff, not there. But you know, would I tell anybody to go to Disney during a pandemic? No. Make that decision for yourself. I'm perfectly healthy. I was 100% yesterday. My voice is just shot now. So I should be back to 100% by tomorrow or so. And you know, I felt comfortable. I felt good. Now I will say, after we left at about 5:30-ish. I got a craving for Olive Garden for the first time in like 3 years. So I ordered Olive Garden. After I order it, JT's like, you forgot your wooden sake crate in Rachel's bag. I'm like, God dang it. I'll meet you at Disney Springs. So we went to Disney Springs. I went in just to get that from them. I'm like, you know what? I called back Olive Garden. I'm like, can you hold that order for like 30? It's like, no problem. I had to get their chicken parmesan with their breadsticks with Alfredo sauce, because I tweeted about it like 2 weeks ago. And boy, did I regret that meal like two breadsticks in, and I'm already like still regretting it. I was like, I don't know how I used to put these meals down so easily. But so we get to Disney Springs, and you park in a certain garage. It was like Orange Garage. And it was like going to a convention before COVID, where you had to go through the parking garage with a line with metal detectors and all that. But nobody was social distancing as well as the theme park itself. Like, it felt almost like there was no capacity at Disney Springs. Like, it wasn't overcrowded, but you had to weave your ways inside, in and out of people. But you still required masks. People had to cover even their noses. I remember seeing an employee tell a guy wearing the gaiters, like the, you know, the gaiters, which are proven to not be as protective as actual masks. She's like, do you have an actual mask you can put on? He's like, yeah, right here. So they let him in, but had to go through metal detectors and kind of wait through a parking lot with like 100 other people before you got in. So I went in, walked into like two stores, got my thing, and then left. And then got my Olive Garden, went home. And Tifa, such a beautiful dog. I have a camera. I have a couple cameras in my house for her. And not once did she bark. I would say 90% of the time she just laid in my bed peacefully. And then as soon as I got home, she was ready to go. So that was actually the longest I left her for a day, which was almost at 7 hours. And she was perfect. Didn't destroy anything. Didn't get destructive or bored. I have a Furbo, so I spat out some treats to her when she came to eat her food and stuff. And then like, I'll be home soon and stuff like that. So I'm super happy with my dog. She is amazing. She can handle it on her own. She does have separation anxiety. Like, sometimes if you obviously leave, if you're a dog owner, you know, when you leave, don't make a big deal. Like, bye, I'm leaving, I'll see you soon. You know, then they get the idea that you're not coming back for a while or something. But with her, just leave, and she was good to go. So that was awesome. Now I feel comfortable leaving. My goal to be to never leave for more than 8 hours at a time. You know, trying to get her to use this doggy lawn out front, where my front gate is locked. I can lock it and let the, that like doggy door, which she goes in and out of when I have treats, but she will not use this lawn, which is real grass they ship to you. I just wanted to try it out. She hasn't figured out how to use it to potty. She's so used to going in the backyard area, where it's a public area. It's not fenced in, but I have an auto feeder that I have set to 8 a.m., 1 p.m. with like a small little meal, and then 6 p.m. for a dinner meal. And so with that, like, I'm good to go for a few hours a day if I need to. And I got to start training her to get used to me not being around when I start, traveling again and family and such. So But that felt good, you know, being able to go and leave her alone and come back and she was okay. And I got her this giant bone when I groomed her over the past weekend. And oh, it was awesome. The groomer was like, your dog is so well. So sorry, my screen screened out. But yeah, so Tifa was just an amazing dog to, you know, to took her to, grooming. Cause her nails were getting long. I usually grind her nails myself, but I was just like, you know what? Let me get her bathed and all that together. I went to Woof Gang Puckery, bakery. Sorry. Really cool place right next to my house. I can almost walk her there. But yeah, like your dog is so sweet and so pretty. She was nervous at first, but after a few seconds, she was good to go and she loved it. So that felt really good. And then, you know, brought her back and stuff. And just it felt good to be able to leave her for hours and go to the theme park and come back and stuff like that. But sooner or later, once she figures out how to use that doggy lawn outside, and then I can kind of leave her for maybe a little longer, or if she just needs to go at any time. But I know when she needs to go outside, just her attitude, she'll like start snapping at me in a playful way. I'm like, all right, time to go. You know, so I actually been walking her like 3-4 times a day. My legs have been getting like naturally skinnier just from the everyday walking with her and such. So pretty cool. You know, I went to Disney. This episode's coming up on almost 30 minutes. You know, I think I'm going to dedicate next week's episode to working in retail. So this episode, thank you again for, as always, for listening. What I want to do next week is dedicate an episode to working in retail jobs. You know, before I was an organizer, my very first job actually was washing windows at my dad's motel that when we first moved from Canada, my dad owns, called the Maple Leaf Motel. He sold in the late 90s and then kept the office to still continually do Disney World tickets. But my dad started that business in 1985 or six, like right after we moved here. All his uncles and like relatives, they opened up business plazas, construction in Orlando. While my dad's like, I'm going to open up a motel and sell Disney World tickets. And at the time, there wasn't much competition. There was like one other company called Billy Rocker, who ended up selling and getting out of it to do more real estate and stuff in Kissimmee, Florida. But I used to go when I was like 10, 11 years old, wash my dad's windows for like $20. So I learned how to work and listen at like 10, 11 years old, go with my dad to, when I didn't have school or on the weekends, to the motel and hang out, take naps in like the room that was the next to the registration. It was a 44-room motel. So that was actually my first technical job ever. And then when I hit 16 years old, I worked at Babbage's, which is what it was called before GameStop kind of took over and bought Babbage's, and it bought EB Games, Electronic Boutique. And that, you know, the reason I'm bringing that up is I was actually at Florida Mall last week. I forgot the reason I went. I wanted to get out of the house and it was empty. And they were finally closing down that GameStop that I worked in when it was a Babbage's. So that like exact location is like where my whole life in gaming kind of got started from a retail standpoint. And I tell people, like, to be a good organizer and customer service, retail is not bad. But going back to that minimum wage I talked about earlier, I think I was getting at first like $6.35 an hour. That was like 1998-99. So yeah, inflation's like almost doubled. So people are getting like hopefully like 10, 11, 12 bucks or whatever. But yeah, so I'll talk about that. A couple of the jobs, like I worked at Blockbuster Video when I was 17. And then I'll leave the rest to all these other places. Ripley's, believe it or not, I used to work at Universal Studios, Islands of Adventure. So I had a lot of jobs. I didn't want to know what I wanted to do until college, but I wanted to work. I wanted to have money to, you know, spend and play. And there was a time where my family business wasn't doing well, and I was actually giving some of my paychecks to my dad to just help out the family until my dad had invested in a huge business plaza that a godfather of mine built. And I'll never forget the day when he successfully completed that deal. And we came into some wealth, and my dad, we were at a restaurant, and my dad bought bottled water for everyone. And he's like, we can afford this now. I was like, because he never liked tap water. So that's a little personal family story right there. So I have stories for days on working retail. I don't have like stories where I hated my job or anything. I was actually very happy to interact with people, but that helped grow the guy I am now with running events and speaking to people. So very exciting to do all that. And yeah, again, thank you so much for listening to this episode, guys. I will speak to you next Monday when I record another one, but please be safe. Take care of yourself. And doesn't it feel so peaceful not seeing Trump tweet And now politics are so boring. The only stories they've got on like Joe Biden, and I'm not defending the guy or anything, is like he's wearing a Rolex watch. I'm like, God, they make $400,000 a year. $10,000 watch isn't that big of a stain, you know. So, just crazy times we're living in where it's politics are boring. You don't have to watch what the hell is Trump going to do, and now the impeachment stuff's happening and all distractions. But you know, Biden's doing his policy, sticking to what he wants to do, but it just feels like progress is already being made. The QAnon stuff, all those people are just like, well, Trump didn't win like he was supposed to. What do we do? And they're all lost and just watching all these stories. So hopefully things start to turn around. I hope you guys are doing well. And until next time, Jabali out.